We're trying to analyze these questions from a perspective of in the world of machshava, and I want to speak today about the nature of machlokas. Now, there are a couple ways, like we spoke about in the past, a couple ways to learn this question. I want to understand a couple basic things. I'll ask the questions in the beginning, and hopefully this can give us some insight to frame the discussion a little bit. Some of these questions, you know, in a typical Ian shir, you could talk about if we were learning Maseches Gittin, like we probably will next year. So you're on daf like Vav, I'm a Beis, and you know, there's one way of talking about a sugya like this, or Erev and daf Yigimel. But we're going to talk about it, again, from a perspective of Machshava, to frame the discussions just a little bit. Number one, why does there seem to be so much Machlokas? I don't mean, it's not like the beginning of a shmooze about like Achlas and Klal Yisrael. I mean like in like Chazal, Rishonim. Why is there so much Machlokas? Now, it may relate to what's going on nowadays, we'll get there in a little bit, hopefully. But why is there so much Machlokas? And I'll frame it in the following way. Machlokas is a function of a breakdown in the system, meaning ideally there should be no machlokas. Ideally it should all be very, very clear. All what we do, to say it a little bit, all we do Sunday through Thursday when we learn Gemara B'I and analyzing machloksim is all really a function of a b'di'evid reality. I'll leave it to MS, there should be just clarity. We should just know what to do. It should all be very, very simple. And the existence of machlokas is all because on some level there was either a breakdown or just we're no longer on the Madrega to have a certain kind of clarity. But I'll leave it to MS, in the perfect world, there really wouldn't be Machlokas, and you got to relate to Machlokas in many ways as a B'di'evet. Now, if I embrace that reality, this is going to be an important point, if I embrace that reality, so part of what I may want to strive to do is to minimize Machlokas and maximize a certain kind of like simplistic clarity. I'm going to want to have, as much as possible, whenever I can, to find the ideal, and the ideal is always one mahalach. The ideal is always what really is the actual pshat, and if we can have a system predicated on a lack of machlokas, so that would be the ideal, and that may be better, and maybe on some level, that's what we're ultimately striving for, bisman bias goel tzedek, when we have a Sanhedrin, they're going to give us the clarity, it's going to all be very simple, they're going to tell us exactly what it's like. That's mahalach number one. Mahalach number two is a very different mahalach. It's one that I think does frame things a bit differently. It was machlokas is not bad at all. Machlokas is totally part of the system, even from the beginning. Machlokas is not because we're weak. Machlokas is because the Ribono Shel Olam wants there to be machlokas. Machlokas is built into the system. If you think you will ever come to a reality in which there's no machlokas, you don't fully understand what it means that there was a Matan Torah and a Kabbalah Satorah, or what actually happened there. And if you embrace a particular, you got to understand there's going to be different Stadim, and maybe that's ideal, and maybe that's great, and maybe this ideal world in which everything is like just simplistic and everything is one-sided, maybe that world is never going to happen, or at least it's never going to happen in the way that some would hope it would. What I want to try to do in light of that is speak a little bit about how these approaches impact questions like the way in which you argue, the way you relate to machlokas in general. It will relate to, and this is going to be like the machshava that stands behind lambdas, it will relate to how you explain machloksim in Chazal and machloksim in Rishonim. We are going to speak a little bit now about some of the machshava of Rishonim. We'll speak about some achronim. We'll go to Sifrei Chassidus a bit, and we'll go to Sifrei Kabbalah. We're going to try our best to give us some important insights into machlokas. L'da'ati, in this year, and we're trying to, I think, do a decent job giving a hakdama to Torah Shebaal Peh. So l'da'ati, this is one of the more, this is very, very yisodistic for how things go. So let's start like this. If you look in Chazal itself, l'chor, you get mixed messages. On the one hand, the Mishnah Avos tells us that we have machlokas in the L'shem Shemayim, and a machlokas that's not L'shem Shemayim. A machlokas that's L'shem Shemayim, like Hillel and Shammai, that's going to be a machlokas which will last. So we already see that there are good and bad machlokas. Machlokas of Korach, Va'adaso, Korach, who is like the model for machlokas, Shelo L'Shem Shamayim. So that there are machlokasim, it sounds from Chazal, that some machlokasim are not so bad, and some machlokasim are really fairly terrible. What is machlokas a function of? So we see these machlokas, I just referenced, we see in Chazal, even within the Gemara's Maseches Sanhedrin. Gemara's Hedron daf pechesim ebeis, Misherabu Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel. Shammai and Hillel do not argue anywhere near as much as Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin that as Shammai and Hillel, as they had more and more Talmidim, what happened? Shloshimshu kol tzarchan. They did not engage sufficiently. We'll see what that means a little bit later for the Rambam at least. They did not sufficiently engage in shimush, Talmidei Chachamim. They did not engage enough in being there and providing, being there and being close to, cultivating certain kinds of either relationships, depending on what you think shimush actually means, but they were missing something, a component of relationship. Then Rabu Machlokes be Yisrael v'nasa Torah k'shtei Toros. That Shammai and Hillel, you know where Machlokes comes from? It came from the fact that there was some deficiency in the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel. But the Gemara seems to say, at least at this stage, there was a deficiency. They were on some level not where they should have been as far as their relationships with their Rebbeim. And you turn around a little bit later and suddenly there's Machlokes and Torah looks like two Torahs. It's like Rashi writes the Isser of Losis go to this. So give me Sachas Yivamos. Why you can't have some doing this and some doing that is because the Torah shouldn't look like two Torahs. And Machlokas sometimes does look like two Torahs. You go into different plays with different Minhagim, and sometimes it can feel like, you know, like it's different Torahs. We can do it all in one Mincha here. You can feel like it's multiple Torahs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're that good. But that's one Mahalach. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Dalet, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin there offers a bit of a different pshat. Not so true. Not so true. Achas Dvar Elokim Shtayim Zo Shamati. Mikra Echad Yotzi L'Kama Tamim V'Ein Tam Echad Yotzi L'Kama Mikraos. Mapatish Zeh Mischalek L'Kama Nitzotos Af Mikra Echad Yotzi L'Kama Tamim. The Gemara here in Sanhedrin tells us that when it comes to, as an example, explaining Chumash, that Chumash can be explained in multiple ways. And that's not a bad thing. Chumash is given over in a way where there are multiple explanations. Why? What is the purpose of Big Day Kahuna? So maybe there are a couple of Mahalchim. What does it mean that the Big Day Kahuna are there? L'Chavod Vilisif Aras. So maybe there are different understandings of what it means, L'Chavod Vilisif Aras. Maybe the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban and Rashi and the Chazal and Masechet Zevachim. Maybe they all mean different things. Maybe there are different interpretations. Maybe Machlokes is really not that bad. I want to try to pin down both approaches. I want to try to explain those who think that Machlokes on some level is less ideal, and explain, so what exactly got lost that there became more Machlokes, and where was the breakdown? We have a lot invested in believing that our Mesorah is not a function of the breakdown. We have a lot invested in believing that what we got was passed on door after door, that our Mesorah is very, very powerful. So where does the breakdown lie if Machlokes on some levels with the Eved? That's one kind of an area. There we'll have a couple of approaches. And then we'll speak about the other side, which is going to be, in my mind, incredibly intriguing and a little bit wild for some of us, why Machlokes may be a L'chachila. I don't mean arguing intensely and arguing in a derogatory, condescending way. But I mean Machlokes is Machlokes. Why maybe it's somewhat ideal that there are different approaches, why it's not that bad. And why that feeling, and we'll talk about this in terms of its implications for like contemporary life. A guy's like, why can't everyone just get along? Why can't you just be like one hashgah, you know? And things like that, and maybe we'll understand a little bit, you know, why that is so. Let's go like this. The Rambam is like Dhamma Peiros HaMishnah, since the Shiurim on some level are based on the Rambam's like Dhamma. The Peiros HaMishnah, so I guess they're equally, I don't even know. But the Rambam, at minimum, I believe after the Shiurim, when you learn the Rambam's like Dhamma Peiros HaMishnah, some things will be much more valuable. At least I believe that to be the case. But the Rambam writes like this. The Rambam's a believer of two things, and here we got to pin things down. The Rambam thinks that, first of all, there are certain things upon which there is no machlokas. There are perushim that are mikubalim mimosha, ein behem machlokas klal. There are certain perushim in Chumash that came down from Moshe Rabbeinu. Upon that, there is no machlokas. Rambam thinks halacha Moshe Misinai is on some level. There's no machlokas about that. We looked up a comma, what will be done, and how accurate it is, and to give Torah in second paragraph. But for now, more or less, we're assuming, or the first paragraph, I think we learned that. But we will... It says the Rambam, there are certain things which are no machlokas, and our Mesorah is predicated in the fact there are certain things that have no machlokas at all. So where does machlokas come from for the Rambam? If certain things have no machlokas, then where does it come from? So Rambam thinks like this. There are those who maintain, aval svaras mishachashav. There are some people that think, shagam ha-dinim tishben machlokas kabbalah mimosha, v'nafam b'hem machlokas machmas tatu kabbalah shechas. Rambam, don't think the following. Approach number one, meaning don't think because there are people who do think. Says the Rambam, don't think that Machlokes means there were things that we got from Moshe and our Mesorah was not that good and we forgot those things. That's not true. Don't think that really there are Machlokesim about whatever it is, in Shas, it's a function of Moshe gave us one of those tzadim very clearly, and it wasn't passed over that well. Says the Rambam, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. That's not how Machlokas developed. That's not where it really came from. That's not what's going on. Where does Machlokas come from? So, for the Rambam here, it appears to be more or less as follows. I'll work off in some level Rav Huttner in Igor Suksavim, in the Simon Lamed or Garris Lamed. Rav Huttner there has a explains and elaborates a bit on the Rambam. I'll try to do it in the way that Rav Huttner does, maybe adding just a little bit. What seems to happen is as follows, says the Rambam. Hill and Shammai don't argue that much. You know why Hill and Shammai don't argue that much? Because where's Machlokas coming from? We have Midosha Torah Nidreshes Bahen. We have new questions that emerge. We have new applications and new ways of looking at Chumash in light of some of those Midos. Where's Machlokas come from? So there used to be much less Machlokas. Because people were on a Darga that they worked with the same principles. They worked with the same principles. That's step one. Step two. You want to drink? Really? This is water. This water is holy water. Says around like this. When you have people who all work with the same principles, people who are incredibly intelligent, and people who all have the same Derech HaLimud, so then it's not so surprising, says the Rambam, that more or less they're not always going to agree. We look at things the exact same way. We know how we're going to look at them. We have the same Yesodos and principles. It makes sense that we're going to have very, very few Machloksim. What the Gemara suggests in Masechta Sanhedrin about Talmidei Shammai Hillel were not Mishamesh Kol Tzarchin. You know what happened? They were no longer on that Madrega. They were not people of sufficient intellectual. There is, again, it's a discussion like in Professor Nachum Kellner, like, you know, talking about this a little bit. But here, it does sound like there is an element of Yiras Hadoros in the Ram. The people are not in the same Madrega anymore. And therefore, there was a Shikha, but here this is a footnote emphasized in the Rambam, and I think it's true in the Rambam. The Shikha was not about dinim that were learned. The Shikha was about Darche Ha'ir, how you learn. The Shikha was, what do I do with drushas in new cases when they come up? It's not a function of people being bad, not a function of a forgetful kind of a breakdown of Mesorah, but rather says the Ram, Kishnei Nasim Shem Shavim Bahavana Uve'in Uve'idiyas HaKlalim. If you have people who are equal in understanding, in knowledge of principles, so for them, Lo Tiyah B'Neiyah Machlokas, there won't be that much Machlokas, but you know what eventually happens? People just, they start learning differently on the Madrega. It says the Rambam, V'ein lahashimam b'kach. Don't blame them for this. It's not because they're bad or they forgot, etc. Kilo nuchol anach lachkuyach shnei ve'odem esvachim shizvachol lefi ramas sichlam shi Yoshua u'pinchas bizman Yoshua and Pinchas. Those people were of a certain Madrega, they were not going to argue that much. But we're going to argue because there is a little bit of a breakdown, but not in our fault. So the Rambam says that's a suggestion as follows. Misor Machlokes on some level does reflect a certain kind of bidyevet. But says the Rambam, it's not even in that reality. It's not because people are guilty or sloppy. And it's not because we ever forgot things we directly got from Moshe Rabbeinu. What we have, and that is rock solid. What it means, though, is as follows. What is going to happen is that at some point, we're not going to be on the same kind of a madrega to be able to analyze things all the same way. New questions come up. We're learning Chumash with the midos and addresses by hand, with the midos that Chumash is supposed to be learned with, and people are going to look at it in different kinds of ways. That's where Machlokas comes. The Rambam, certain things never have Machlokas. It's a pure Kabbalah, rock solid. Certain things do, and some of that is a reflection of a certain kind of learning methodology. I'm just going to go one step further within this Rambam camp. The Gemara Maseches Erevin tells us that Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, when they argue, it's still called Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But according to what we're suggesting on some level, isn't one of them more likely to really be right? Meaning, had one of them been on the real Madrega, wouldn't we have had greater clarity and there wouldn't have been that Machlokas? So what does it mean, Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that these and those are the words of the living God? How are they both really considered to be quality Torah? You make a Birchat Torah, you have a Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. How exactly does that work? So I'll share with you just one potential mahalach, the chida. It's a very famous chida in the Pesach Inayim, in the Erev in there. It's so crazy famous, not crazy famous. It's like Elu ve'Elu. It's quoted by many people who speak about these things. The chida suggests Elu ve'Elu does not mean that both sides are objectively correct. What it means is that there is value Talmud Torah-wise when there's machlokas because it better highlights the true side. Meaning when there's machlokas, sometimes machlokas gives better understanding for what, let's say machlokas between Tobas and the Ramban, sometimes machlokas between Tobas and the Ramban gives you better insight into Tosfos than if you just learned Tosfos. When I can contrast it to the Ramban, so now I have a better appreciation for what makes Tosfos really unique. If I have in Chumash, Rashi, and the Ramban, sometimes it's Rashi's Rashi. When I see the Rashbam explained differently, it's not just that now I know an additional pshat. It's now I know Rashi in the context of Rashbam, I can better appreciate Rashi. So if you take an approach that machlokas on some level, it does not always reflect what would have been. So part of Elu ve'Elu, maybe, again, one way of saying it, that part of Elu ve'Elu is not that they're all equally true. There's one true thing, but there's value in learning all of it. They all are part of a process of Talmud Torah because they will help us better appreciate what the right one really is. That's one more or less way of saying it. There is, though, a different approach. It's an approach which I think is a little bit more interesting. We're going to shift to the world of, like, we'll start with Rishonim that are going to sound a little bit Kabbalistic. We'll then go with, like, a Zohar or two, and then we'll appreciate, hopefully, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe did in the new Sefer that came out this year that I find very, very intriguing. But let's go. What does it mean that Machlokas is ideal? What does it mean that Machlokas is part of the system? How could that be that Machlokas is part of the system? So I'm going to start with a famous Ritva. This Ritva actually is famous because you know this. Ritva from Sechze Erevin on Daf Yugimel. Let's pay attention to it a little bit. We'll see how it's in the Ritva. The Yam Shel Shlomo, Drash Aran, say it a little bit differently. But let's just get going. It says the Ritva like this. Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfas, Heich Eftes Yushneim Divrei Elokim Chayim, V'zeh Osir, V'zeh Matir. How can one person say that you can eat at, kibbutz chicken, and one person says you can't eat kibbutz chicken? How can it be? Either one's right, or one's wrong. How can that both be, Elu ve'Elu, Divrei Elokim, Divrei Elokim Chayim? V'tirtu, Ki kisha'ala Moshe l'marum l'kabal Torah. This is what's an incredibly important Kabbalah Torah idea when they went to Kabbalah Torah. Here we go, called davar, v'davar, mem tespanim l'isra, mem tespanim l'hetter. Every child that came up, the Ribbono Shel Olam did not tell Moshe. Torah was not given in one way. Torah was given by Moshe. There are 49 reasons to Aser, 49 reasons to be Mako. Shalom Akash Baruch Hu, so Moshe said to Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't have, so is it good or not good? V'amar she'ezem masul l'chach me'Yisrael, she'bechol dor v'dor v'yachra k'mosam. There are tzadim in both directions. What are you going to choose? That is up to Chachmei Hador. That is up to Chachmei Hador. In order to be able, they will be the ones who will establish what you do. V'nachon hu l'fi hadrash, uv'derech ha'emes yish ta'am v'sod v'davar. So the first starting point, when Torah was given over, says the Ritva, in different ways, in different stadim. So is there Bishul Akam in a microwave? I'll tell you reasons to be Mekel, I'll tell you reasons to be Machmir. I don't know if I actually came up with Moshe Rabbeinu at that, although that's maybe a different topic for a different time. Not a Bishul Akam shir, a shir of what was given over at Kabbalah Satorah. So what does that mean? It gets us started already a little bit. Torah was given over in a way in which there would be room for machlokas. The Yam Shel Shlomo says in a bit of a more Kabbalistic way, I'll say it and I'll tone down a little bit, people process things the way that they process them. I have my, say like this, the Zohar says, there's a great set of Sfarim. I don't know if people are so familiar with that. Rabbi Nachman Cohen was a Rav in the Amidah of North Riverdale for many, many years. There's a lot of different Sfarim that are put out. You'll see them in different places. So he has a couple Sfarim in the last bunch of years. He's a wonderful person. For a while, I had a nice relationship with him. He has a Sfarim called Mirrors of Eternity, where he tries to do something which is fascinating. He tries to take Machloksim, and the Rebbe did very similar things, Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the new Sefer that came out this year, called Kudisichos Lishitasahu. Now, when I say new Sefer came out this year, he didn't write it this year, obviously. You don't have to We got that. It's something which is a collection of his work, which is always a part of his general orientation. But let me try to give the underlying principle of some of what Rabbi Nachman Cohen does, some of what the Lubavitcher Rebbe does, and it really is rooted in a Zohar. You have a lot of machloks in between people. Look in Chazal as an example. Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Yehuda argue a bunch of times. Shammai and Hillel argue a bunch of times. You have people, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue a bunch of times. You find a lot of people that are always, it's the starting point, Bali Plukta, one with the other, that you have people who argue fairly consistently and fairly often. Okay. It's possible that those are all separate machloksim. This is like the standard way that people learn. In the world, let's say, of on some level of classic lumdas, we don't have to go towards the world of brisk, the world of classic lumdas, if you read most Rishonim even, the standard assumption is that there's a machlokas about, let's say, Zachin la'adam, shalom b'fanav, that machlokas, you want to analyze, machlokas ha-Rishonim, I'm going to analyze it in light of the sugya of Zachin la'adam, shalom b'fanav. And we're not going to take a machlokas that may exist between, say, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and view that in the context of every machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Shas. Because some machlokas are about Tanai Kafel, and some machlokas are about, I'm making something like Bari B'Shemba, and some have to do in Kachem with Shchitas Chatas Oath. Because we don't really do Shchitas, whatever, we're looking at the time. And we don't, and you're looking at all these different things, and we view each sugya, Bederaka, as its own sugya. That's what the standard thing to do is. But there are those who suggest, and I want to answer this, it's not just that's given over with different studim, that's how the Ritva sets it out, and each sugya in those studim, see how you're going to, you know, where you go. Okay. See where you're going to go. But maybe you can even broaden it one step beyond the Ritva. The Zohar writes that part of the machloksim between Shammai and Hillel is a question of where their soul is rooted in. And what is their soul really rooted? Hillel comes from the world of Rachamim, or the world of Chesed. And because it comes from the world of Rachamim, the world of Chesed, so Beis Hillel has Netiya Lekula. Beis Shammai comes from a world of Gvura, or a world of Din. And because Beis Shammai comes from a world of Gvura, or a world of Din, so Shammai is going to often be more machmir. What that does is something wild. It's something very not classic for how most people learn Gemara. If I had more time to speak about it, I've been thinking that's a Pesach a little bit, some academic Talmud stuff. It's similar to that a little bit. But what goes on is as follows. When you want to look at machloksim between, let's say, Shammai and Hillel, so Nachman Cohen wrote a book on Shammai and Hillel, analyzing all of the machloksim in Shammai and Hillel, Based on one underlying yesod. Or maybe all the machloks between Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Yehuda are based on one underlying yesod. What's like that? Could be that one of them is a Kabbalist and one of them is a mystic. Sorry, they're both the same. Kabbalist and mystic, and one of them is a rationalist. Could be there are certain underlying, yes, that's like the real Kabbalist is viewed that way. You know, like, but there's some underlying yesod which is going to impact so many of their machloksim. So the Babich Rebbe in the Sefer L'Shita Sayer, so the Rebbe did this a lot, and what they put out happens to be, it's an interesting Sefer. They'll talk about his machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's about a machlokas, he thinks a lot of the machlokas between Shammai and Hillel, connecting machlokas that seem to have no shaykhas one to the other, are machlokas about, do I view things in light of potential or in light of actuality? Do I view things as far as koach or poel? Do I view things in terms of quantity versus quality? Do I view things all different ways, the future or living in the present? That there is a mahal, this is a step, that when we see machloksim, to appreciate machloksim, not in terms of the limited specific context where they're found, but in light of a larger orientation that they may bring to the table, a larger orientation in terms of how does Shammai relate to things? So this is the point. We always relate to Torah the way that these people, let's say, Rabbi Nachman Shorag, they're based in the Zohar. Shorish Neshama, you know, who are you? Who are you and how do you perceive things? And it's possible that there, you can have different people that a certain underlying yesod, they come from a certain place. And that place may be a place in which they are going to view lots of things in light of that. And it's not that one is right and one is wrong. They both reflect a degree of MS. They both reflect a degree of an MS. And they're going to view things in light of that. Machlokes is not because there's a breakdown. Machlokes is because we are programmed, one way of saying it, we are programmed to process Torah in the way that we are meant to process Torah. And we, there are underlying yesodos sometimes. Is there really a... The Rebbe thinks a lot of machlokes in Chazal about whether, Rav Engel also, about whether we value more quantity versus quality. Is it better to, you know, like, this is machlokes, that's the same as brachos. It's better to have less talmidim of a higher quality, more of a larger quality. That's machlokes in the fourth bank of brachos. We're going to lead up, you know, it's right, total kibaros when no one comes in, it'll be very, very small. Or is it better to open it up and everyone, quantity versus quality? That's not a question, the way this is like step two. It's not a question that's like, one guy is right. Like, it's pasha that we only hold of quality and quantity is ridiculous. It's pasha that we only hold of quantity and quality. Those both reflect a degree of MS, but both are valid values. They're both things that are good. And part of machloka stems from, take the Zohar, din versus rachamim. It's not like din is good and rachamim, I mean, obviously not because it's din. Like, rachamim is good and din is the bad one and shama is wrong. Or din is right and this is wrong. But rather it's that they both reflect a degree of MS. Or they both reflect an MS. Din is real and rachamim is real. And some people are rooted to perceive things through din. And some are rooted to perceive things through rachem. That's for the Zohar. For the Rebbe, there'll be underlying svaras that ledati may both really be true and are going to be there. For Rav Kluger, if I can, I'm sorry, we're getting like a little bit. It's Friday. It's all good. For Rav Kluger, I said this over once. I gave a shiur, Shiur HaKotel, on how to enjoy learning. Is this what this mice over? Between contrasting the Rav and Rav Kluger. So I have a friend in... I have a friend in Boca who's a very, very impressed Talmud Chacham. And besides myself right now, who sent me an email. So Rav Kluger is a very important figure in the Beit Shemesh world, in the world of contemporary Chassidus, Chashid person. So a friend of mine in Boca sent me an email. I was so excited to see your shiur online because he has a lot of background in the Rav. He said, I've recently been going through the drush of Rav Shlomo Kluger. It was like from like a couple hundred years ago, like, difficult for me. Like, I was so excited to see how you get a contrast, like, of Shlomo Kluger, one of, like, the great Achronim of, like, a couple hundred years ago, with, like, the Rav and Talmud Torah, because he was actually, like, probably thinking about that at the time. Thinking, like, I don't know anything about Shlomo Kluger, but, like, Kluger, you know? That's that. So, Stam Rav Kluger. We're in Beit Shemesh, and we're going Breslau. So, Rav Kluger, this, by the way, this sefer was Dibrei Chachamim Ben Nachas, was a sefer that was, it's going to sound crazy, it was so helpful for me in personal relationships and what he did in the beginning of that sefer. He talks about how different people are rooted in different... Again, we're getting into the world of Kabbalah Chassidus a little bit, but different people are rooted in different souls. And some people are Chachma people and some people are Bina people. I'll articulate them and I'll give you some insight. Chachma people, again, if I remember this off the top of my head, Chachma people tend to look at the big picture. Chachma people are the vision people. They like looking at larger ideas. They like looking at again, the whole picture. It's a certain kind of orientation, like more of a klal kind of a... Chachma people are often very bad at getting things done l'maisa. They're often not that great at l'maisa. They're the vision guy. But what should be? How do I do it? I don't know. That's one thing. The Bina people are awesome at details. They're the guys that make sure that, like, in the Chadar Ochel, there are napkins. You know, like, they're the guys that, like... Obviously, I gave away where I think I'm rooted and what I think is better, but there, Bina is a certain kind of, it's details, it's a sensitivity to getting things done, being very aware of what's in front of you and dealing with, you know, that particular problem. I remember once asking, I think Pesach Bates nailed this, I asked him once, he was talking about two different rabbis he had spoken to, and they had asked him questions about how he was doing. So I said, because one of them is a pure Chachma, one of them is pure Bina. I said, can you articulate, not pure, but one's rooted more than the other. I said, what kinds of questions did each one ask you when they wanted to know how you were doing? And just after I'd been going through Sefer, and it was amazing. Like, the Chachma guy was like, how are you feeling about your time in Yeshiva? What are your general goals, you know, for there? And the Bina guy is like, how's Musar Seder going? How's it going, like, you know, like, how's the transition between Musar into Bekiyas go? Like, very, very detail-oriented. That's a question of where we're rooted. We're programmed. We're sourced in a particular place. The reason why that was so helpful for me is that I struggle a bit in the world of Bina. I'm not as good at some of the Bitsua, getting things done a little bit. But that Sefer gave me incredible insight into the importance of Bina, into the fact that different people are rooted in different places. And because they're rooted in different places sometimes, the fact that this guy's asking questions that I b'chlal don't care about, you know, like, but like, how many napkins do we have out? I think, like, who cares? You know, like, they'll, you know, like, I don't know, they'll wipe their face on the, you know, I have no idea. Like, it'll work out okay. You know, like, they're yeshiva guys, it's fine. But when you have that, it gives you this, like, incredible insight into the value of different people. And for me, it totally reoriented the way that I can sit there and hear people talk about different things, because some people have are like this, and some people are more like that, and some people have a little bit of each. And you can appreciate where people come from. Part of that, it's not a fundamental breakdown that some people are chachma and some people are bina. It's that a good organization has to have chachma people and bina people. A good organization has to have people that will have a larger vision. A good organization has to have people that are going to make sure that, like, there's going to be food when you walk into the chachma. You know, like, there's going to be, like, svarim somewhere. There's going to be things going on. Like, organizations need that. Families need a family that has pure bina and no chachma. A family that has pure chachma and no bina. Each one. But what that tells us a little bit is that part of where machlokas comes from is where you're at, and in a certain sense, again, we're getting more Kabbalistic here, but where your soul is rooted. Where your soul is rooted in. And depending on where you're going to be, depending on what location you're going to, that's going to say an enormous amount about how you are going to relate to things. And machlokas then is going to look, you know, in a very, very different, in a very, very different way. I want to chazer a little bit what we did, and I want just in the remaining couple of minutes, be able maybe to develop one additional underlying yisod. So much of what we do is analyze machlokas. So much of what we do is analyze machlokas, even in local ways. Tosfos and the Ramban, what are they really arguing about? Arguing about the nature of migo, arguing about the nature of trey utrey, some really important discussions that come up. How do you relate to machlokas? So machlokas for many people gets a little bit frustrating. Why is everything a machlokas? Why is everything a machlokas? So one way of saying it is, well, it wouldn't have to be that way. Ideally, we would know the halacha on every case, and it'd be very, very clear. And the existence of machlokas is there because we're not on the madrega. So why is it machlokas? Because we're not there where we want to be. It's so frustrating. Taka, you're right. That's what it means to not be where we want to be. What can we do? There's going to be machlokas. But for another, why is there always machlokas? The answer is because people are different. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave over Torah in a way. This is how the Ritva says that it's so important. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave over Torah in a way in which it could be argued both sides, and he wanted us, meaning Chachmei Hador. We're not all there, right? Chachmei Hador. I mean, you're all awesome, and hopefully we're all awesome. But I'm not in the Chachmei Hador camp either. Hopefully the Chachmei Hador are awesome. Hopefully we're all awesome. Hopefully it's all good. But the Ritva refers to Chachmei Hador. That, that's like, you know, like feeling it in the moment. That the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to be given over to Chachmei Hador for them to be Machriya. But in the question of like why we learn Gemara and things like that, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be involved in this process. So why is there going to be Machlokas? So one way of saying it, that is the price to pay for us being involved in being Machriya. It's the price to pay for Torah to be involved, our initiative and our Chachma and our hard work. That's what it meant to get Torah. So I'm bothered with machloksim, I'm bothered with clear conclusions. That's fine, just understand the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to be that way. That was an ideal reality that was given over. People to weigh over, eventually come to clear maskanas, for sure. But that's what the eventual, that's what we were really striving for. And then we had an additional mahalach in which maybe what's really going on is not just a little bit of a breakdown, although again, breakdown and maybe methodology, no dinim of Moshe and Rambam, did we ever forget? No Kabbalah, much did we forget? Nor is it about Hashem Baruch Hu gave it over to us, with different times we would stam, learn it on its own. But we were trying to develop what is an idea based on the Zohar, an idea that, again, Rav Kluger has in a certain sense, Babish Rebbe has in a bit of a different way, or Nachman Cohen has in his own way, which is to look at machloksim sometimes as being functions of underlying truths. Underlying truths, and often, this the Rebbe has less in this context, but often a function in terms of where your soul is rooted in. Like what kind of person are you? And some people are programmed to view things certain ways, or some people maybe acquire certain souls through their own avodah or things like that. But certain people are destined, or they're set aside to learn things in particular ways. That's at least one way of looking at it, as far as din or as far as rachamim. And I think that's important because I do want to like I want to just add a point here, which I think isn't. Sometimes there is a frustration. Sometimes there is a frustration about etzem, the reality of machlokas, and machlokas exists in so many different areas. Machlokas exists in halacha. Machlokas exists in hashkafa. Machlokas exists in how you learn chumash, how you learn Tanakh. Machloksim exist in so many different areas. For me, what was a very helpful shift in terms of my, let's say, relationship to a certain kind of learning was when I began to appreciate the value of machlokas. That machlokas is not all because, it's not frustrating. Machlokas is not annoying, and machlokas is not because I wish someone would just tell me what to do. Part of what machlokas reflects in a certain sense, if I could say it like this, is it's an understanding of each individual's chelek in Torah. Each individual in their own way has a chelek in Torah, and therefore the Torah that you learn, the Torah insights you're going to have, are going to reflect your chelek. The Pizetzner writes in what is for me one of the more powerful, I think, passages, straight up, in Tzav Zeiris. It's one of the more powerful things, I would think, in print for a person to read, where he writes, the same way if you were given a Rambam and it didn't say Rambam on top, and you could identify, oh, that looks like a Rambam. Or you have something you could say, I look at that and say, that looks like a Tosfos, it looks like a Ramban. Even without it saying on top who wrote it, some people, it's so clear their style. It's so clear their style that it's just... So Pizetzner says that each Jew in his own way should try to acquire that also. You hear a Dvar Torah and you say, that's such a hymn, Vort. It's such a hymn insight. That part of what it means to find your chelek in Torah is to get to the madrega where you have your chelek in Torah, akitekach, that people can like appreciate that. It's like you see something in print sometimes and you're not sure who wrote it. And you can just say, it sounds so much like person X. It sounds like it's chelek. What allows us, some of these ideas are what allow us to have a chelek in Torah. The existence of machlokas is what has created the space and the room for us to find our chelek. If it was all singular, it was all just this, so it wouldn't have the initiative that the Ritva describes of being given over, for us to be mefapal over, for us to try to figure out. And it wouldn't have the space for us to have certain kinds of new insights, of analysis, if there wouldn't be the context of machlokas. Part of what machlokas does is it's the heter for there to be a range of options. And when there's a range of options, it gives us the opening for us to be able to find our chelek. For us to be able to find our chelek. Part of our Kabbalah Torah was not the same Torah given over. It was one Torah given over, but processed with a Pesach for people in their own way to offer a degree of chiddush. Purim is upon us. Purim is a tkufa in which we are Mikabel Torah. It's Mekabel the Torah, Gemar Shabbos Pechas. It's Mekabel Torah for many, not of the Torah Shebichsav, but of the Torah Shebal Peh. It's a time when we strengthen and strengthen Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is Dafka in such a powerful way it's spoken about. The area in which I can find my own chelek, I can find my own style. And in a certain sense, Purim is the day more than any other, where people can show off their own style and their own, dress up as whatever you want, assuming it's not incredibly inappropriate. And, it gives you that opportunity. But part of what it is an opportunity to find my place and my chelek in the world of Torah. Could be that next time, Bereshit Hashem, we'll speak a little bit about, like, how much latitude you have in your place, how much you can be mechadesh, who you can take on and who you can't take on in the course of learning. But, Shkayach, guys, have a wonderful